Well, today we're going to continue on. We've for some time now, we've been talking about this title, Faith-Filled Prayer. This is part 7, and unless the Lord shows otherwise, this will be the last in this series. But we left off last time talking about some of the hindrances to answered prayer. The Bible talks about several different things that will be a hindrance to our prayers being answered. And a lot of times people stop praying because they've had experiences in their life where their prayers were not answered, and so they give up on praying. But there are reasons. There are reasons why prayers may not be effective. And so far, we're going to get into some of the review, and then we're going to launch off into what we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about unforgiveness today. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. We didn't get very far. We're going to continue talking about unforgiveness today because we know from the Word of God that unforgiveness can indeed hinder our prayer life. And then we're going to pray and believe God that He's going to help each and every one of us. And so by way of review, let's look at a few things. Biblical reasons why prayers go unanswered. We talked a lot about prayer. I encourage you to go back. YouTube has all of these messages from the beginning of this series. But biblical reasons why prayer goes unanswered. And again, one of the reasons, the first reason I gave you, is because we ask with bad intentions. And we see that from James chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. We have bad motives. Our motives are not right or what have you. Or we're asking things that are not biblical. How many of you would agree with me that when you pray for anything, you better pray biblically? You got to pray in line with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 7, He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done of your Father in heaven. And so the condition there is, and again, you know, you have to look at the whole context of the scripture to find out all the various things. The context of that is this, that you're abiding or you're remaining in Him in terms of a relationship. You're cultivating a relationship with God and His word is abiding in you. And so your will is being conformed to His will because His word is His will. And so you'll pray according to the word of God. Again, if you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And the idea is that as His word abides in us and as we abide in Him in terms of fellowship, relationship being cultivated in our lives, then we'll ask appropriately, we'll ask biblically, and then we can believe God for the answer to come. Amen. Is everybody with me here today? Amen. And so that was a part of this. You ask with bad intentions. And then also doubt and unbelief. We dealt with this. A lot of scriptures concerning that. One that many of you are well aware of because we've talked about it so many times is James 5, 16 through 18, which says that if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. James chapter 5, 16 through 18 says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is Jesus, right? So you anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus, and the prayer of what? The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. And so, again, it's the prayer of faith. And so faith is an important part of that. But, of course, if you were with us, you knew or you know that I really think, as I studied the Scripture, I really have come to the conclusion that love is the key in so many ways, even to faith. And so this passage, Galatians 5, 6, Amplified Bible says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. But notice, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. And so I propose to you this idea that the more revelation we get of how much God loves us, then faith is not a problem. Did you hear me here today? And so we mention Ephesians 3 where Paul shares his prayer that he prayed for the Ephesians that they would know the breadth and depth and length and height and to know the love of Christ which surpasses our understanding. And so again, we ought to pray that prayer for us and for other believers that God would open our eyes to the vastness of the love of God. And to the degree we understand and really grasp the vastness of God's love is the degree that faith will not be a problem. Because when you know somebody loves you unconditionally, then you have no problem trusting them. Is that not right? Amen? And trust is another word for the word faith. And so we gave you this scripture as well. We're doing a little review, but then we're going to launch off. And so just be patient with me. But how many of you would agree that a lot of times the review is necessary? Amen? We need reminders. Even if you know these things, we need reminders. And in this particular passage, John 16, 23 through 27, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, He says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say that you shall, I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Now notice the highlighted, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. And so in the context of prayer, in the context of asking in the name of Jesus, it's no mistake that Jesus includes this fact that the Father himself loves you, because the idea of him loving you helps you to pray in faith and receive that which you pray for. Does that make sense to you? And so, you know, really, we shouldn't be so concerned. You know, people sometimes say, well, you don't have enough faith. But that's, I don't think that that is, first of all, appropriate, because that doesn't help anybody by telling them that. And secondly, I don't think a lack of faith is the root cause or the root problem. I think it's knowing how much God loves you. And all of us need to get a better idea, a deep revelation of how much God loves us. Would you agree to that? Because so often, you know, we see our own flaws, we see our own shortcomings. You know, a lot of times people have a hard time loving themselves, let alone believing that God's going to love them unconditionally. They might have been brought up in a family, perhaps, where the father was an absentee father or an uninvolved father or whatever, and so they never really got a concept of the love of a father in the natural that was unconditional, and so they struggle with that. But again, our Heavenly Father is the best father anybody could ever have, and better than we could ever imagine. And so again, study the Word of God about His love for us. Because as we do, we can trust Him that much more no matter what we face in life, no matter what obstacles, no matter what attacks of the enemy, no matter what it is that comes our way. If we focus on how much He loves us and get that deeply rooted in our lives, then we're going to break through. We're going to get through that situation. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. And so we continue to study the Word, read 1 John, that whole epistle. So much of it deals with the love of God, even the Gospel of John. Study these things. Of course, we know 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 describes love. And of course, if you think about God is love, then many of those attributes, you can see how it fits with God and how He thinks the best of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so much of that, I think, is so important. Now, unforgiveness. If you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to open it up. If you don't, we're going to have it on the screen. But it's good you see it in your Bible. It's good that you highlight in your Bible, underline in your Bible. Somebody said, and I agree wholeheartedly, if you have a Bible that you don't feel like you can underline in or highlight in, then set it aside and get yourself a Bible that you can highlight in. Because when you highlight, when you underline, it helps you to make it your own. It helps to get it in you. And it helps you find it when you're looking for it, because you know what side of the Bible, the page it's on, and all that kind of thing. But you know, it's so important that we get the Word of God from the pages of the book or from your app. You know, my wife, just by the way, she's in children's ministry today, so I can tell on her just a little bit. She was preparing more this morning, and she was trying to find something, and she couldn't find it because she's got her phone there and trying to scroll through and find a certain thing. I said, let me go get my real Bible. And I went and got my real Bible and looked it up just in a matter of moments and told her where it was. And then she found it on her app. Why? Because I had a real Bible and all she had was... But anyway, anything that works for you, praise God, to get the Word into your heart and your mind. Amen? Now in Mark chapter 11, I'm going to start reading here in verse 22. It reads this way. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Remember, if you were with us really in the Greek, Greek scholars will tell you that it really is stated this way, believe that you have received them when you pray. Not when you feel it, not when you see it, but when you pray, believe that you have received them. And notice what Jesus said, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, get this part, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Everybody say, forgive him. that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I mentioned to you that that really sounds heavy near the end. But if you think about it, if you haven't forgiven, God won't forgive you of unforgiveness until you repent of your unforgiveness. Then he'll forgive you of that. Is that not right? And so, again, let's look at some of these things, and some of this I'll still be a little bit reviewed, but then we're going to talk about how do you forgive? How do you begin that journey of actually forgiving biblically? Because we can't just tell you do it and not give you ideas as to how to forgive. And so I mentioned this to you. Unforgiveness and its close cousins like resentment and bitterness is holding judgment against another. It is holding a feeling that someone owes us a debt and we're going to make them pay. We make them pay in a variety of ways. Now, Dr. Siemens, in his book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, he said this, the two major causes of most emotional problems among evangelical Christians are these, the failure to understand, receive, and live out God's unconditional grace and forgiveness, in other words, to understand his forgiveness that he has forgiven you with, and the failure to give out that unconditional love, forgiveness, and grace to other people. So he believes, and you know, I think there's some validity to it, he believes that one of the greatest problems emotionally that believers have is, first of all, not really comprehending to the degree they need to the unconditional love and forgiveness of God that God has toward them, but also they're not forgiving others. And so unforgiveness can cause you problems. I think most of you can agree with that. Amen? And I mentioned to you from Johns Hopkins University, the report that they discovered that a lot of our physical well-being is dependent upon forgiveness, that it will affect our bodies. It'll affect us with sickness and disease sometimes when we're in unforgiveness. Even the secular Johns Hopkins University has conceded to that. That's something that I think God knew it all the time, didn't he? Amen? Amen. Now, this is added, all right? This is another added thought from John Mason. There's a book he has, Let Go of Whatever Makes You Stop. Notice what he says. Are you getting anything so far? He says this, living a life of unforgiveness is like leaving the parking brake on when you drive your car. It causes you to slow down and lose your momentum. One of the most expensive luxuries that you can possess is unforgiveness towards someone. A deep-seated grudge in your life eats away at your peace of mind like a deadly cancer, destroying a vital organ of life. In fact, there are few things as pathetic and terrible to behold as the person who has harbored a grudge and hatred for many years. And I think that can resonate with many of you. Not that you necessarily are in that position, but you have possibly known people that were so hardened and so, holding a grudge towards certain people or individuals that it just affected their whole personality. It affected their whole mindset. Do you know what I'm saying to you today? And so it is indeed an ugly thing. He says a pathetic and a terrible thing to behold a person who's just holding on to grudges. And, you know, some people are just so consumed with this bitterness and this unforgiveness. You can see how it would affect them physically, can't you? Amen. And so, again, we want to be free of that no matter what degree we may be in, if at all. Now, I'm not saying everybody here has unforgiveness, but I do know that it is an area that we all need to be watchful of, don't we? We all need to be on alert about, because we don't want to get caught up in unforgiveness, because we have opportunities maybe every day. Certainly on a regular basis, you and I can have opportunities to have unforgiveness toward people. Am I right or right? All right, we can have opportunities. I mean, people say things, people look at you wrong. You know, people can do all sorts of things, and you take offense. Sometimes the offense you take is not based on fact. It's based on your perception. Right? Amen. Because you don't really understand, or you're perceiving something that doesn't necessarily truly exist in terms of somebody's attitude toward you or something like that. And so it's not always a legitimate thing. Sometimes it's just something that we have perceived that is not necessarily legitimate at all. Now let's go on with this, because I've got more things to say than I have time for. We talked about the importance of relationships, and we know the entire Bible is about relationships, isn't it? It's about, first of all, relationship with God. Secondly, relationship with other people, believers and unbelievers alike. And so it's a book about relationship. Of course, the most important relationship is our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important. And really, how that relationship goes as believers, how our relationship with God goes, in many ways determines our relationship with others. If we will cultivate and nurture and grow in our relationship with God, it'll change us to the degree that our relationship with others is going to be so much better. Does that make sense to you today? Amen. And so really, that should be, first of all, you could say our vertical relationship. That, if that's a priority, and as we nurture that and grow in that, it's going to help us in our horizontal relationships with other people for sure. Amen? Amen. And so that's first and foremost. Now, with all of this idea of the importance of relationships, we know that there is a satanic kingdom, and they consider biblical relationships a threat. And so often, you know, we've seen things from Scripture about how Satan wants to divide us. He wants to cause people, let's say, in a family or in a local church, he wants to divide and conquer, doesn't he? He wants to do everything he can to divide and conquer. And a lot of times that division comes by just trivial things that in the long run doesn't really mean anything. It's not important, but yet people get all caught up. They get thinking about it, and they build it up as a bigger thing than what it really is. Now, I'm not saying that there are not some serious things that people could be offended by, but I'm saying that my experience is that a lot of times people get offended over something that is so trivial that it really, you know, a lot of times is due to their pride being hurt. Yeah, I know it is. Because you know how I know it is? Because I'm human too. And I know that my opportunities to be offended sometimes has been because of my pride being hurt. I mean, you know, we got to deal with pride, don't we? All of us, to one degree or another. I remember years ago, there, I preached for this fellow before we even started the church. So we're talking about over 32 years ago. I preached for another pastor. And afterwards, he was a little bit younger than me, not a lot younger, but he was younger than me. Afterwards, he proceeded to tell me, you know, things I could do to make my delivery better. Now, in my mind, now, outwardly, I was told him, thank you very much, I appreciate that. Inwardly, I'm thinking, who's this squirt think he is? I'm just being honest with you. Just being honest with you. But, you know, then later on, I felt like it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he just said in my heart, he only told you that because he cares about you. Amen. You know, some people, sometimes they'll tell you things that might hurt your feelings at times, but yet they told you because they care about you. Now, maybe they didn't deliver it in a tactful way. Maybe they did, though. But sometimes, again, our pride gets worked up and we think, man, who does that guy think they are? You follow what I'm saying? So we got to do a little introspection. Think about it. Well, maybe the problem isn't how he delivered it. Maybe it's my pride. My pride made it hurt more or something. Does that make sense? Well, this is just food for thought. Now, I know this doesn't apply to anybody here. This is for people that watch it on YouTube later, right? And so, but this is just food for thought for all of us, amen? Because we can all get, caught up in these kinds of things. Now, notice now, Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's an important phrase, even as. That we're to forgive one another even as God in Christ forgave us. I mean, how can we forgive like God forgives? We can forgive like God forgives because He has empowered us to forgive. He, the forgiver, lives on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And so we can depend upon Him. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own power. It's like the song said, I may not be able to, I can't, but God can. Amen? And then they quoted in that scripture, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that includes forgiving people of some of the terrible things, maybe even really terrible things, but still forgiving because we have the power of God and the ability of God as we place faith in that. Now, defining forgiveness, because I got so much I got to get into here, because we're going to talk about, again, how to forgive, things that we see biblically as to how to forgive. Defining forgiveness, it is the freeing of a person from guilt and its consequences, including punishment, usually is an act of favor, compassion, or love with the aim of restoring a broken personal relationship. Forgiveness can involve both the remission of punishment and the cancellation of debts. All right, there's a lot involved with that. Now, I do want to say, and we're gonna qualify this in a little while here, the restoring of a broken personal relationship. Sometimes you can forgive somebody, but it would not be a healthy thing to restore that relationship. Are you following me here? All right, and so again, a little caveat with that definition. There's a lot of good parts to it, but the idea that, you know, sometimes restoring a relationship is not a healthy thing, even though on the inside you've forgiven, doesn't mean you should restore that. Does that make sense? All right, now defining forgiveness, some other definitions, to do something pleasant or agreeable to one, to do a favor to, gratify, pardon, to give graciously, give freely, graciously to restore one to another. All right, again, remember that caveat, remember that qualifier that sometimes you don't restore, but you forgive. For your own sake, you forgive. And then I like this definition of forgiveness. It means to send away, to send forth, to yield up, to expire, to let go. Just let go of it. Just let go of it. And you can do it again by the help of the Almighty God. You can let go of these things. Now, you know, with this idea, remember now, when God forgave you, I said this 2 weeks ago, I want to say it again. When God forgave you, remember, He didn't say what you did was okay, did He? And so remember that if you forgive somebody else, that's not saying what they did was okay. It's saying that I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go for my sake as well as theirs, but I'm going to let it go. Notice what it said. R.T. Kendall, he's got a book called Total Forgiveness. He wrote this: the person who gains the most from forgiveness is the person who does the forgiving. And I believe that's so, based on everything we've said so far. Even in terms of your health and your emotional health as well as your physical health, forgiveness benefits you, doesn't it? Chuck Swindoll, many of you probably know of Chuck Swindoll, Insight for Living. He wrote this: if you have been wronged, your feelings of unforgiveness may be justified. But even if they are, you should find a way to forgive. Because if you fail to do so, you will be the one who suffers most. When anger and resentment stay inside you, they fester and contaminate your being and may take control of your life. In other words, your anger no longer belongs to you, but you to your anger. Think about that last phrase. That's amazing. Your anger no longer belongs to you, but you belong to your anger. That basically is saying that the anger controls you. You're not controlling your anger, but your anger is controlling you. And you know that's always a dangerous place to be, isn't it? Amen. I don't know. I think this message is better than your faces look, but that's all right. Now, real quickly here, some misunderstandings about forgiveness. Some I've already alluded to. But first of all, it doesn't mean the wrongs done to us are acceptable, number one. Secondly, it doesn't mean the emotional hurts won't hurt anymore when we choose to forgive. But I believe the process of that hurt going away does begin. And then thirdly, it doesn't mean we now have that we have to totally trust the person who hurt, offended, or betrayed us. That would be an error, wouldn't it? I mean, you got to, I don't know, most of you might not remember this, but you know, Ronald Reagan used to say this concerning Gorbachev, the Russian leader. He said, trust but verify, right? And so, you know, he was cautious, a cautious type of trust, right? And so, you know, we got to be cautious about this, not totally necessarily trust the person who hurt, offended, or betrayed us. You got to have caution and be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what's working on the inside of them, doesn't He? Amen. And then it doesn't mean that the relationship will go back to being the same as it was before. That does not mean that. Now, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty. And that is, how do we forgive? This is my understanding from the Scripture. Some of the ways the Scripture shows us that will help us to forgive. Everybody okay? All right. I know this isn't a shouting hallelujah swing from the chandelier message, but it's really needful for all of us. Amen. And so the first thing is, allow the Holy Spirit to minister and comfort you. And John 14, 16 through 18 talks about how the Holy Spirit is given in order to be our comforter, the one who consoles us, our advocate, etc. You know, really, we could say it this way. In order to forgive, remember to tap into the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Amen? He lives inside of you, and so therefore, let's tap into His power, His ability, His comfort, His strength, and even allow Him to minister healing, because healing of our emotions is important as well, right? And Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, and many times when we're offended, our hearts have been broken in that sense. We have a broken heart, but Jesus said Himself, Luke 4, it records it, that I came that I might heal the brokenhearted. Those that have been crushed. That word broken has the idea of crushed. Crushed in life. If you've been crushed in life and therefore have unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever, He came to heal that. He wants to heal that even today and set you free from that. Secondly, ask the Lord to help you to forgive. He understands every struggle, doesn't He? You know, He understands you. In Hebrews 4, 15 through 16, you might want to jot it down and look at it later, but it reads this way: for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The high priest is Jesus in the context. He's our high priest representing us before the Father. So we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so that tells us, if we're in the context of unforgiveness, would you agree with me that Jesus was tempted to have unforgiveness? But it says he did not sin. Therefore, he did not hold on to it. Isn't that right? It says he was tempted in all points like we were, yet without sin. Because he did not ever sin. He was the sinless one who bore the penalty for yours and my sin, right? But he was tempted in all points as we are. Hebrews 4:15 through 16. Then it goes on and it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this in the context of forgiveness, we can come before him and say, God, help me in this time of need to forgive, in this time to strengthen me, to help me to be free from this bitterness, this unforgiveness in my life. Now, thirdly, remind yourself of God's gracious forgiveness of all your failures. You know, many times it's good to remember where we came from and not to be under condemnation about it, not to allow the guilt of your past to overwhelm you. But sometimes it's really helpful to see where you came from, what you came out of, and how much God has forgiven you and set your feet on high places, so to speak. He helped you to get through things, amen? He set you free from the past and the guilt and all of that. It's good to see where he's brought you to help you forgive others as he has forgiven you, amen? Amen. And so think about that as well. Now, again, how do we forgive? Consider the why behind what the person did or said. Having grace for people sometimes means considering pressure they may be under, their background, their lack of maturity, or the fact that they could be under satanic attack. Sometimes in the past, it's helped me to consider what they might be going through. It's helped me to consider, you know, maybe they're going through something that I don't even know about. Maybe this is not the way they regularly are, but they're under a certain amount of pressure, or they're struggling with a sickness or financial issues or whatever the case may be. And so they're reacting in an offensive way or whatever. Sometimes that might help you. Just thinking about, you know, maybe they're just going through some things, and maybe it'll help you stir up compassion for them rather than anger toward them. Does that make sense? All right, I think there's some validity to that. I think there's something about that that we consider all of that as well. And then here's a big one. Begin to pray regularly for the person you need to forgive. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 28, Jesus said, pray for your enemies, do good to those that hate you, all these kind of things. Pray for that person. If a person has offended you, you might say, now listen, if they've offended you, this is not the way to pray. You don't pray, Father God, I want you to get them and get them good. That's not the way you're supposed to pray. You just pray for them, ask God to lead you as to how to pray. Father, I pray that you would just help them and whatever they might be going through. Minister to them. If they're not saved, Father, I pray that you send a laborer, the best person possible, to go across their path to share the gospel with them. I pray, Father God, that somehow, some way, that you would work in their hearts, work in their lives, help them to be aware of your presence. Whatever the case may be, the Holy Spirit will help you and lead you as to how to pray for that person that offended you. By praying for them, it helps get you free from that offense. It's hard to hold offense towards someone you're praying for. Are you getting anything from this? All right, and I know it might not be easy at first, but if you begin to do it, I believe that the Spirit of God is going to begin to cause you to have more compassion for them as you pray for them. And as he leads you and guides you, maybe the Holy Spirit will show you things as to why they might have done what they did or reacted the way they did or whatever, and you can help them by praying for them. And then secondly, here's the scripture. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Isn't that a great scripture? Really? It really is a great scripture. And so hang on to that. Apply that to your life. And I believe it'll help you be free from offense and bitterness, all that kind of thing. Now, again, how do we forgive? Another thing is prayerfully consider ways to give and bless the person you need to forgive. Now, this may or may not be the case with you. You may not want to deal with that. Maybe you need to stay away from them. Maybe that's the best thing because they might be, who knows, they might be dangerous. They might be abusive or whatever. But there are situations where maybe giving them something or blessing them, somehow, some way would be a way to help you get free from that offense toward them. Is everybody with me here? Bless those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and bless those who hate you, etc. All that kind of thing. These are powerful principles that will work, all right? And so you might want to consider that. Again, it's not, you know, and if I've offended you, let me tell you one way to get free of that offense. If I've offended you, all you got to do is give me an apple pie and everything's going to be good, all right? No, I'm just kidding. All right. But again, there is a principle about this giving and blessing somebody else. Praying for them, prayerfully consider ways of giving and blessing them. Then how about this one? Number 7, you must use your faith to forgive. If you have your Bible, look at Luke chapter 17, if you don't mind. Luke chapter 17, so powerful. We're going to read that, if you don't mind. And I know my time's running out. My wife warned me that she's in there, and if I don't get done on time, there's going to be trouble. All right? But no, she's fine. She's fine. But in Luke chapter 17, and begin with verse 1, if you're there, say yes. Notice it says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. So it's impossible that you won't have opportunity to be offended. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he would offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, Lord. I mean, they thought, man, he's asking a lot. Not only do I need to forgive them 1 time, I need to forgive them 7 times, 7 times in a day. I need to keep on forgiving them. The idea is, no ending of forgiveness. And then they said, increase our faith. And he said in verse 6, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat, etc. And so the basic idea is that he said that if you have faith to uproot this mulberry tree, it'll go. And so he's saying to them, faith in me, faith in the Word of God, as we've already said to you over and over and over again, use your faith. And the way I've done that in the past is, again, I shared a couple weeks ago about this fella in high school days that really I hated him. I hated him. But just forgive me. This was over 45 years ago. All right, I don't hate him anymore. I feel sorry for him. But I, when I found out about forgiveness, I would say something to the effect. I'd say, Father, I thank you. By faith, I forgive that guy. I'd speak his name. And I'd pray for him. I'd pray that God would send a laborer because he's lost. I think he's still lost. I pray that God would send a laborer across his path to minister the gospel to him. And by faith, I forgive. I may still have the feelings of unforgiveness and all of that, but every time the thought came to my mind, a bitterness, an unforgiveness. Every time it came, I'd cast that thought down. I'd command that thought to go, and I'd begin to pray for him. And by faith, I'd say, by faith, I forgive him in Jesus' name. And so faith is necessary because it's only by faith in God's grace, faith in his ability. And then also, number 8, decide to live the grace life. Just live that life to have grace for other people. Now, I'm almost out of time, and so let me just say this, because this is a question that people ask all the time. Should I tell my offender I've forgiven him? Should I tell them? Now, these are some things, as you see at the bottom, from this book, Insight for Living puts out a book, Counseling Insights. These are some points that they made that I thought were pretty good points. Do you need to tell the person that you've forgiven them? Notice what it says. In many cases, yes, but if the following are true, keep your forgiveness between you and the Lord. All right, so I think this is going to be helpful to you. Number 1, the offender is unaware and offense has occurred. And so if they don't know that they offended you, there's no reason to go talk to them. That could stir up more things, couldn't it? And so sometimes they're unaware. Secondly, the offense falls under the category where love covers over a multitude of sins. And he gives several scriptures for that. And so there's situations where it's not going to be helpful. Just let it go. Just let it go is one of the definitions of forgiveness is. And then also the offender is malicious and enjoys inflicting pain. If that's the case, don't go to them and tell them you've forgiven them. Just do it between you and your God. Amen. Because they are not the type of person they're going to laugh it off, or they're going to maybe offend you even more deeply if you go tell them that you've forgiven them. And again, I think this is good advice. I didn't write it. It came from this resource, but I think it's got some good things to it. How about this? The offender would likely interpret an open offer of forgiveness as an invitation to abuse or manipulate again. So these are food for thought, something that you might want to think about. Is everybody okay? Amen. And then finally, again, R.T. Kendall in his book, Total Forgiveness, he said this, I think is powerful. When you totally forgive your enemy, we can put in there, when you've totally forgiven the one who's offended you or hurt you. You have crossed over into the supernatural realm. And why can we say that? Because forgiveness, the way God forgives, is supernaturally. Supernatural. When we read from Ephesians, remember he said, forgive one another as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. If we're going to forgive the way God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us, then it's supernatural, isn't it? But thank God we've got the supernatural. We've got God within. We've got the ability to do anything that God wants us to do. Anything he commands us to do, he gives the ability to do it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your ability. We thank you, Father God, for ministering to hearts today. I pray, Father God, that you would bring these things to each person's remembrance as they have need, Father God, that something said today would just resonate in their hearts and minds, Father God, and when those opportunities come to be offended, that you remind them of how to overcome that offense, to pray for that individual, to do good to them, to do whatever principle applies, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you'll give wisdom on any or in any kind of specific situation. Father God, we thank you for helping us all to stay offense-free, Father God, that we might stay free from bitterness and unforgiveness so that we can walk in a more intimate relationship with you and that we might fulfill the plan and purpose that you have for our lives and that we might have answers to our prayers as we stand praying, Father God. We thank you for helping us all, bringing these things to our remembrance in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.